Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it. And be sure to leave a rating or a review on whatever podcast app you're using to listen to this podcast. It really helps Going In Raw if you do that. Another great way to help Going In Raw is by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. I'm afraid to touch any of these buttons now. The Stream Deck, man, I hit the blank button and it went to the Rad Wrestling Scene Collection in OBS.
That's weird. That shouldn't be happening.
It's like a bunch of weird tech jargon right there for you non-streamers out there. But man, things are going crazy here at the Going In Raw office. We got to get that new office space, Larson. We're currently on the road to office space. It's very exciting. Anyways, at the Patreon, we have a variety of reward tiers, including the $20 reward tier. $20, one pledge. For $20, you kick in your money. At the end of the month, we send you out the Prendo care package.
Whoops.
Bunch of shit over there. Look at this. New adventure. The Steven Larson comic
one
book.
One that can only be found inside the pages of a comic book.
Can't happen in reality. Comic book.
Can't happen in reality.
You get those little Steven Larson stickers right here. And then the Going In Raw sticker.
Oh, we need to send the images of those to Alto Votalha.
Already done. Did it last night.
Nice.
I'm on that. And a little signed postcard. If you just want this signed postcard, $10.
Just one time.
I have a bunch. I have so many. I compiled the latest list of like care packages. We added a lot of new friendos to the group.
I've noticed.
A lot of new patrons out there. I was pretty surprised. Like, wow. Yeah. Anyways.
Now that we've been really showing off the care package.
People have been...
Upselling people.
We've been upselling. Hey, you like postcard? How about a care package? You like care package? How about a t-shirt?
You like stream? How about all this other stuff? Just one time.
Just one time. It needs one time. Hopefully you forget that you're doing it and you do it more. And then we also get a shout out. So a couple, like last week, I did all the January shout outs, but throughout the months, a couple fell through the cracks. So I left a Patreon post and I said, who didn't get a shout out or who wasn't paying attention and didn't hear me do it? I'll do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Here's some names for you. Christian Womble, Devin Smallwood. I think it's Devin or Devon. I don't know. Devin, Mr. Small, D Smallwood. Jonathan Reiner, who's joining us in the Patreon chat right now. Let's see here. Deontay Soignier. Although I think I remember the name Soignier because it's very, I like that.
Oh
name.
Yeah. He's asked and we have answered his questions before.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Chris Meza, Steven, but he claims that he gets a bit sleepy when he's listening to Going In Raw.
Maybe. Me too. I'm here recording.
You're not alone there, buddy.
And I get a little sleepy.
And then we have a friendo named Moist. Moist. I'm going to leave that one alone.
All right.
Don't touch it if it's moist.
All right.
Anyways, those are our patrons. Also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Got a bunch of great designs there. More to come.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
Raw. I mean, it wasn't bad. There were some good matches, but at the same time, it felt, for the most part, inconsequential.
Hold on a second. Hold on. So I'll say this.
I mean, I'm not necessarily talking as in terms of storyline.
What was the last thing we saw in the episode? Well, besides Braun power slamming everybody, which is awesome anyways.
Yeah.
Elias got the pin on John Cena.
Oh, that was cool.
Come on.
I'm not saying in terms of creative stuff. I mean, it just felt like if I hadn't watched this, I don't feel like I would have missed a whole lot.
You would have missed Elias picking up a pin on John Cena.
That's one bit in a three-hour show.
You know,
maybe I just wasn't into it. Some nights I'm just not into watching wrestling.
Okay, so
and that really alters my perception of the show.
Because when I look back on it, there was a lot of good stuff.
There were some good matches.
I think here's my thing with it. There wasn't a lot of sizzle, but there was plenty of steak. I thought there were some really, really good matches. I thought there was some really cool stuff going on in the women's division, which we'll get to.
Oh, that Sasha Bailey segment was really good.
That was awesome.
Asuka's Bailey's match was good. Like I said, there's a lot of good stuff. I guess for me, it was just a situation where I knew I was going to sit for 3 hours and watch Raw and for whatever reason, it didn't sound like an exciting proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that, it's 3 hours is a long show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's all it was. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, looking at it on paper, I'm like, oh, there's some story development. There's a good segment. That was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
So on paper, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, I think sometimes a lot, your enjoyment of Raw largely depends on your disposition going into it.
That's definitely true. No, because here's the thing. When I look at it on paper, like it should have done a bit more for me, but I don't know. Maybe I was just tired. I don't know. Maybe it was post Super Bowl. Maybe I was just tired. I don't know.
Maybe
I was
riding the high of the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Because oh yeah, it's hard to beat that. But I don't know. When I look back on, it, I'm like, holy crap! I felt like here's the thing. It might also be our expectations have been raised by Raw
mm-hmm.
because it has actually been really good lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's been a lot of really good stuff. Like tonight's SmackDown, I'll be honest with you. I was kind of looking forward more to Raw than I am SmackDown because my God, if I see another giant image of the word Rockstar crawl across my screen.
Oh, that was no good.
Even though there's some good stuff going on there.
Yeah.
It's just going to bug the crap out of me.
Yeah, me too.
Like you made this joke last week where you said it feels like the entire budget for like repackaging.
Went to Raw, yeah.
Went to Raw. And so they said, hey, SmackDown, do you have a couple of interns who can help polish up your product? And they have the like those stupidest graphics. But otherwise, I thought Raw was really, really good. Let me bring up the notes.
Yeah,
here.
Look through the notes again. Again, it might just been an instance where I just.
Well, here's the thing also. It literally kicked off with a Bray Wyatt promo.
Yeah, that's not really a good way to kick off the show because once he pops up on my screen talking, I check out.
And then Roman Reigns was reading some cue cards.
Yeah.
Because his eyes were doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing that.
Which is a bummer. I don't want to check out when Bray Wyatt talks. I just know, A, he's not going to say anything of consequence. B, he's going
to
lose.
They really need to. I actually have an idea for Bray Wyatt for Steven Larson Booker.
All right, good.
And it's actually pretty good.
Good.
But anyways, no, I thought, oh, hey, look, here's my phone. I'm putting it over here.
But the match itself was fine.
The match was really, really good. Somebody mentioned this on Twitter. It was just sort of a throwaway comment, kind of obvious. When you know the winner of the match before it even starts.
It takes the drama out.
It takes the drama out.
And maybe that's just what it was for me, too. It was like, okay, it's set up with Bray Wyatt talking first, which immediately I've been conditioned not to care. Reigns talking. He's just not captivating on the mic when doing scripted stuff. And
yeah.
You have a match, which is good.
It is kind of also.
Wise, but there's no drama because you know Reigns is going over.
Pretty much all of these matches right here, with the exception of maybe one, which, I mean, it was kind of a toss-up anyways. You kind of knew, even the Elias thing at the end, I kind of had a feeling going into it that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. With all these, the execution was really good. The Roman Reigns-Bray Wyatt match, I thought, was fantastic. Roman kicked out of his sister Abigail, which really kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, Roman kicked out of two finishers last night. He kicked out the Bars finisher,
too. The Bars finisher, too, yeah. But his sister Abigail, that took down Cena.
I know.
That took down...
A year ago, that was the most powerful finisher in the entire
That took down
company.
Somebody else, too. I forgot who it was.
AJ
Styles. That's right, and he won the WWE champion mm-hmm. because of sister Abigail. And then Roman kicks out of it.
Mm-hmm. They're all setting it up so Roman kicks out of an F5.
Yeah.
It's all... Laying the groundwork for a story at Mania.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've been saying that for a while that they've been
because he kicked out of the skull crushing finale.
Yeah, yeah. It's taken two skull crushing finales
mm-hmm.
to pin him.
But anyways, I thought it was a good match.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns got the win after a spear. Bray Wyatt, I can't say he was booked weak. He was booked relatively strong. He was hanging with Roman Reigns, mm-hmm. except it was just the sister Abigail didn't pin Roman.
Yeah.
And
then Woken Matt showed up after the match.
He was watching the match backstage.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, he owns all the copyrights now.
I saw that, too.
Like, legitimately.
I saw that.
That's awesome.
No, I thought it would have been cool, rather than just have him backstage watching on a screen.
What's that?
Like, have Vanguard 1 fly into the arena and hover over the ring to watch the match that way.
Oh, I love that. That'd be great.
And then, you know, like, after the match, he shows up on the Titantron through Vanguard 1 camera
mm-hmm.
and talks to Bray.
Yeah.
And then he shows up.
Yeah.
Something like that. Get Vanguard 1 in there.
Yeah, no.
They don't need. Obviously, they can't have the hologram projection of Matt Hardy show up from Vanguard 1.
Well, okay,
1.
Here's
That's
the thing.
Done in post.
How about this? I'll one-up you.
All
How
right.
about this? They show Matt Hardy watching the match, but it's from the Hardy compound.
Yeah.
And then he teleports
yes.
into the ring.
Yes.
I don't know how they're going to pull that one off. But TNA, and when he was in TNA, he teleported
oh, yeah.
all the time. So do that. Show Bray that he now has the power of teleportation as
yes,
well.
Yes.
That'd be good. Because mm-hmm. it'd be a twist on somebody watching the TV in the background. Like they did that with Sasha Banks. She wasn't watching a TV. She was watching an iPad at a weird angle.
Yeah.
You know?
She was studying her match she had last week, not watching a match as it was happening.
Right, exactly. But she was doing it like this.
Like leaning on the couch.
Because I know whenever I watch TV, I put my iPad like this and I go like this.
And then you have to turn your body 90 degrees to watch that. I know. Anyways, decent match. Building some heat for this Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt thing. Hopefully they do a Hardy compound final deletion type thing at Mania.
Yeah.
Next, Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins backstage. Seth goes up to Jason Jordan. It's like, hey, if you're not, I know your neck's hurt, your shoulder's hurt, you got injuries all over the place. If you're not 100%, tell me now so we can take appropriate measures before our tag title match tonight. Jason Jordan assures Seth,
I'm good, man.
100% healthy.
I'm good. So, and they said, and Seth said, because this isn't about you or me, it's about team.
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 And Jason Jordan smiled. So they're on the same page, Larson. Good to know.
Well, at that moment, they
awesome.
Were. Next, supposed to be Finn Balor versus Dash Wilder, but the Revival come out and say, we're tag team specialists. How about we make this a tag match? So, of course, Balor was joined to the ring by Balor Club, Gallows and Anderson. They talked amongst themselves and decided that Carl Anderson would be Finn Balor's partner for the night. Tag match now. Balor Anderson versus the Revival.
You know, obviously I would prefer Balor Club to do their entrance like from, you know,
in unison. Together.
However, I do appreciate that when they're in the ring, they are in unison because they throw up the two sweets.
As he raises his arms. Yes, I know.
It's pretty great.
They've been doing that for a while. Yeah.
I know. I really like it.
Yeah, it's good.
It's fun. So, yeah, anyways, Finn Balor chooses Machine Gun. Machine Gun!
Yeah.
Show me Rainmaker.
Yes.
They go over. Finn Balor wins with the coup de grace, of course.
Yeah, I know. Pitch Dawson after coup de grace. Kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Not a bummer. I mean, the Revival seems like every time they've come back, they've gotten a win, they take a loss.
It's Finn Balor, man.
No, I know. Finn Balor, a singles competitor, you know, comes out on top over tag team specialists. I get that.
And how much fun does Finn Balor look like he's having?
Tons.
Just in his body language alone.
I still feel like they have so much potential to do something with Balor Club and they're kind of still just spinning their wheels with it.
Oh, they'll probably spin their wheels for a very long time. However, if he goes after, let's see, who did? Oh, yeah, The Miz is in the chamber match.
Yeah. But I'm guessing Finn will be as
hopefully,
well.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's natural. You got the Miztourage and you got Balor Club. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes all the sense in the world for Finn to go after Miz come Mania.
Yep.
And like I said, I think him having the Intercontinental strap, he's always, that sort of puts you at perpetual contendership for the next title up. I think that's a good move for Balor Club.
And I'd be surprised if, you know, Roman is going to win the Universal title at Mania. Miz drops the Intercontinental title to Finn. I would be surprised if Miz gets bumped up to one of Roman's first feuds as champ.
Yeah, I could see that. Here's what I'd love to see also is for the club to get, if Finn gets the IC title, club gets the tag straps, but because of help from Finn Balor, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Because I want to see them roll like a true, you know, like a pack.
Yeah.
Like a wolf pack.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. And should you turn your back on the wolf pack, Steve?
You might end up in a body bag. That's a possibility.
Yeah, according to the song. It's true.
Who was the weakest member of NWO Wolfpack?
Luger. You didn't know what the faction was called.
That was called Wolfpack NWO?
That's what you thought it was called.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Next, there's this really good segment between Sasha and Bayley. Sasha was watching her match against Asuka last week. Bayley comes in and says, you're watching this again? You've watched this at least 20 times.
A million times.
And Sasha says, all right, you know, I'm studying the match, see where it went wrong, because I was so close to beating Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
And Bayley has a match against Asuka tonight and says, you know, well, care to share any pointers? And Sasha says, well, I'll keep my secrets to myself.
Yeah. Ooh,
tension between
awkward.
Best friends.
A little awkward. This is my favorite part, though. Bayley then says, because Sasha says something like, well, How did it go? She said, if I can't beat Asuka, you sure can't beat Asuka.
Yeah, yeah. And Bayley says, well, I beat you before.
And you think you can beat Asuka, so evidently I can beat Asuka. That is the bit right there. Dude, it's not that difficult. It's not that hard. Bayley shouldn't be somebody who has some weird, you know, stunted personality from grade school, like she was written in that Alexa Bliss feud.
Yep.
She's got a heart of gold. She's a good person. But she can kick ass and she's got confidence. And that's what we saw last night for maybe the first time since NXT.
Very long time, yes.
It felt like NXT Bayley.
Yeah.
And that little that little show of, hey, you know what? Screw you. I can beat out. That was perfectly written. Mm-hmm. That was perfectly written.
It was a good segment.
It was a really good segment.
All around great segment.
Because Sasha's acting more like NXT Sasha, too. Yep. That's what she should be doing. Everybody. Yep. And I really appreciate that it's Asuka who's, I mean, I would have liked this the entire time, but I think it's kind of cool that Asuka is making people step up their game and revert to what made them what they are, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're going to do it, that's a good reason to do it.
No, I agree with all that.
Next up, we had a very entertaining 205 Live tag team match.
Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali versus Tony Nese and Drew Gulak.
With you might know him as Rockstar Spud. But his
we
name,
call him Drake Maverick him Drake. For some reason.
But you know him as Rockstar Spud. We're just going to call him.
Why not Drake just Maverick. Call him Rockstar Spud?
Because there's already a rock star in the
do
WWE.
They think it's
already a rock star on Tuesday nights.
It's a professional name for a general manager.
No, I think it's a great name.
It is. It's a great
that
name.
Yeah.
They're on different brands. They can't have two rock stars in the company.
They're on the same day. The live crowd might get confused. The live crowd might get confused between Shinsuke Nakamura
and Rockstar Spud.
Rockstar Spud. A lot of similarities there.
How about this? Instead of Rockstar scrolling across the screen when Nakamura comes out, what if it said Strong Style?
Even that would be better than Rockstar.
Yeah.
I don't honestly anything like even if it said Sandwich, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Be a little confusing. A little weird, a little surreal,
yeah.
But I might get up and get a sandwich.
Yeah,
at that
no,
point.
It make me hungry.
Yeah, I mean anything else would be good.
Yeah,
you know, Orton.
Why
it's
they,
like, wait,
yeah.
what? No, yeah. That's Nakamura. That didn't make any sense.
No, I know,
but it got me confused.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's the purpose of
AJ
art, right?
Styles, the phenomenal one.
Graphic. Well, that's what it was. I don't know what.
Scrolling title.
Default.
Insert text here. Literally like a motion template.
Forgot to put Rockstar in it. Anyways, this is a really fun match. Cedric Alexander went over with a lumbar check. Like we said, Rockstar Spud was on commentary.
Great sell by Gulak on that lumbar check,
too. Oh, fantastic. Cedric had time to like go underneath. Like he went up, and then Cedric like, what? Did you see that spill that Cedric took on his shoulder?
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
Yeah, that could've been bad.
Even he looked like afterwards he was like, I gotta not do that again.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is he took the bump, but then as he on his way down he hit Tony Nese, and I think that altered his trajectory.
Yeah.
And ended up he almost landed right on his head.
Yeah, but he landed on his shoulder. He seemed fine.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned before we rolled, before I started rolling camera. That you watched the Mustafa Ali 205 Live promo.
Genuine, earnest, sincere.
There's a promo that he did from what looks like some sort of gym.
Yeah, it was like a wherever he maybe just works out.
Yeah, but it was filmed like it looked. It was all like dark and
dramatic.
And he gave this really great promo.
Really heartfelt, yeah.
About what it means to win this next Cruiserweight Championship tournament. And I was telling, you know, Larson, I was like, man, everything about 205 Live should look like that.
Mm-hmm.
How great would it be? That would be. And here's the thing. You can do something like that because it's on the WWE Network and you already have your hardcores. You already have your hardcore fan base. So why are you giving them a product that's like kind of half-assed when it comes to the crowd involvement? When, I mean, I get that production-wise, but you can afford to do something different and people want something different. That's one of the things about 205 Live is that it feels like the leftovers. It feels like the scraps.
I know.
And if you need to make it its own thing,
mm-hmm.
that'd be a great way to do it. And
oh,
I think a fairly cheap way to do it.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Next up, Kurt Angle came out.
He woke up from his nap.
Yeah, to announce the participants in the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Yeah, he seemed a little sleepy.
A little sleepy, man.
So, of course, Alexa Bliss is in the match. She's the champion.
Yes.
Bayley.
Uh-huh.
Mandy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Mickie James. Sonya Deville. And Sasha Banks. And he says, notably absent is Nia Jax.
Yeah.
But they're giving Nia Jax a match against Asuka at Elimination Chamber. And if she wins, then she'll be inserted into the Raw Women's title match at Mania against Asuka and whoever walks out of Elimination Chamber as champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this move. I think it's good. Asuka needs something to do at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
So why not put her in a match? And I like that they're sort of making Nia Jax, you know, they're giving her, I guess, the credit that she really kind of deserves. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, you know, you're not being in the chamber, but you can if you can win this match, which you're not going to. You get to move on to Mania. I like it. I think it's good.
And then Alexa Bliss came to the ring and started airing some grievances with Kurt Angle, saying,
"Festivus for Alexa Bliss.
Brock Lesnar doesn't have to show up, doesn't defend his title every pay-per-view. Why do I?"
She said, "You're being sexist." I liked it. I thought it was,
actually, that was great.
I thought it was pretty good. At first, like when she started to go down that road, I was like, is WWE ready to really start going down this road of, like, you know, sexism and stuff like that? But I thought it was actually really effective.
Yeah,
it was
really well done.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Kurt Angle actually sold it really well, because when Alexa started that path, he seemed completely surprised.
Yeah, he did.
Completely taken aback.
And he was like, oh, God, I feel kind of awkward right now. And again, somebody pointed this out. She was a heel making pretty good points, you know?
Yep.
So I thought it was good.
Oh, it was great.
But anyways, then we had, what do we have next? The John Cena iPhone promo.
He just walked forward and backwards a couple times. That's what I
noticed. Yeah, no, that's all I noticed. And he couldn't keep the camera very still.
No.
But, you know, I'm sure this is just a regular John Cena.
They say he was going down the checklist of things he had to do.
He had to beat
he said,
both.
First, I had to beat Finn Balor last week. Check. This week, I have to win. So
against evil Eddie Van Halen? Is
yeah,
that what he said? Something
and,
like that?
And man who destroys everything.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I got this, and just walks away. So apparently he just said, lol, Cena wins.
I wish WWE Films would do a John Cena cartoon, like an animated movie.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
That'd be good.
John Cena animated movie? That'd be fun. Anyways. Next up, we had Bayley versus Asuka. I thought this was a fantastic match.
Yeah, this is really good.
This is a really good match. Wasn't as good as their NXT matches. But I thought this is really, really good. It was the Bayley that I really wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then she eventually tapped out. Bayley did to the cross arm breaker.
Yeah, she almost got a pin on an Asuka lock attempt. She reversed it. Asuka's shoulders were down. They really made a point of after the match showing the replay to make sure that Asuka kicked out before the three count.
Here's my thing. So up until this point, I had always said that Charlotte should be the one to break Asuka's streak. They should have a really, really great series. If Bayley is booked properly, up to this point has been a massive question mark, and it has been a big no, actually.
Yes.
If she's booked properly, that could be huge. Yeah. Bayley getting her for the first win on Asuka could be much bigger. And I love that they had Asuka shake Bayley's hand at the end, because somebody posted
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah,
the Photoshop thing of like the first NXT match they had. I forget what Asuka did.
She basically ignored her.
She ignored her. The second one, she helped Bayley up after she beat her.
Yeah.
And then this time, she shook her hands. I think that's a good callback. NXT all of a sudden is canon now. So I thought that was cool. Next up, there was a Thebar promo from apparently the arena before the match started.
Yeah, they were just chilling out in the seats.
Yeah. They look like they're good buddies.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
After that, The Miz versus Apollo Crews, another Elimination Chamber qualifier. I don't know what they told Apollo Crews.
Start wrestling like you know you can do.
Because the last 2 weeks, he has been outstanding.
I know, it's been fantastic.
Absolutely outstanding. Not just in terms of the pace of his matches, which is a lot quicker, but his performance in terms of selling in the ring. You know, like there's like he went for a pinfall on The Miz, good close up on him. You know, the reaction of what else do I have to do to pin this guy? Great storytelling.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was a fun match.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. Again, like I said, you know, this whole episode had some really good stuff. I agree completely. I really hope maybe it was him taking some initiative and saying, hey, you know what? I feel stifled by what you guys want me to do. Can I just go out there and let it all hang out?
Wrestle like I know how to wrestle.
Exactly. And maybe they said, yeah, go get him.
Yeah. Because the pace the last 2 weeks with Apollo Crews has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like when he was kind of forced to work a slower WWE pace, it really set him back in terms of showcasing what he can do.
I wonder if any of that might have been getting the call up so early.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're the new person, it might be difficult for you to say, "Hey, I'm working with." Let's say one of his early matches was, I don't know, with The Miz. Who was one of his first feuds?
He's feuded on and off with The Miz.
Well, yeah, that was one of his first feuds. Uh-huh. What if he said, "Hey, you know what? What if he was a bit too sheepish and just let The Miz say, this is what we're going to do?"
Could be.
And Apollo was like, "Okay, I'll just sort of fall in line with that because he's the veteran."
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
But
that
even
going
back
case.
To his days in NXT, I don't remember him working this kind of pace. But then again, he was in programs with Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Granted, we know he's not like.
He's not
unathletic by any stretch, but he doesn't work a fast pace per se.
And on top of that, he was there for like half a second.
I know.
You know, he was not there for
He was
long.
Never given time there to build a brand at all.
I think he had one match with Tyler Breeze that might have been.
His first match, yeah, was decent.
Yeah. Let's see here. So anyways, The Miz did go over with a skull-crushing finale. Kind of both things happened last night that we mentioned in our preview, because I was like, maybe The Miz will be in the Elimination Chamber. And mm-hmm. I liked his promo when he said, I'm going to be the first Intercontinental Universal Champion.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And then I think the other, I forget what else we called. Oh, and then you mentioned, you said, is there a way to get Finn Balor back in it?
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough, they announced Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah, second chance.
Second Fatal chance Fatal 4-Way challenge.
Qualifier. Yeah, Finn's going over.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I was running down in my mind how they're going to book the Elimination Chamber match in terms of setting up potential storylines, if that's at all what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
If you got Strowman, Reigns, Miz, Cena, Balor, Elias. And Elias is the last one in.
Yeah.
So either he has to eliminate Cena or vice versa, since they have a kind of a thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get Finn involved. You know, he's got beef with Cena. I kind of feel like the last two are going to be Braun, Reigns, and Reigns is going to pin Strowman to win the match.
Okay.
Because for the better part of 2017, he had been unable to beat Strowman.
Yeah.
Getting over that hump, setting up his arc going into Mania.
Yeah.
But then there's The Miz. They're not going to have The Miz be in there and just be the first one pinned either, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Reigns Strowman being the last two makes the absolute most sense.
You think Reigns...
Unless they really want to protect Strowman and have everybody pin him.
Well, I was thinking something more along the lines of... Because of what happened this week, I was wondering if we'd get down to... Well, Reigns is obviously going to win. If it would come down to Reigns-Cena after Cena somehow dispatched of Braun.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cena and Braun have seemed to have a little bit of a thing, too. Yeah. I don't know. But I do think... I hope we get Finn Miz out of this.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Next up, we had Seth Rollins backstage now. Oh, he's like ready for his match. Jason Jordan is hanging out with Kurt Angle in the meta. What are you doing over
there?
Sorry,
I accidentally hit...
The starts going down.
A button.
Jason Jordan is with Kurt Angle and the medical staff, and he says, I'm sorry, Seth. I can't wrestle today. I've got a bum. It all
hurts.
His
neck. He was doing bridges backstage warming up, and he felt something pop.
Felt something pop, Seth. And Seth, instead of being like sympathetic to his partner, hey, wow, that sucks. So medically, you're not allowed to wrestle. Is that true? And the medical guy goes, yeah, that's true, man. He's busted up. That's a bummer. Wow. Ooh, Kurt, what are we going to do about this? Instead, he starts yelling at Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
Man, he's hurt. He's injured.
Yeah.
What is he supposed to do? What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, Jason Jordan gave him assurances at the beginning of the show that he was fine, and now he's not fine.
He was fine?
I don't understand why Seth would be frustrated in that respect. But, yeah, he could have been a bit more sympathetic.
Right? I think they think that, you know, again, it's the thing where, what, faces have to be like jerks, too? Seth's supposed to be good guy Seth, man.
I know. But maybe not.
Luckily, there was a fresh Roman Reigns just sort of milling about right there.
Yeah, he just walked in the frame, and there was an understanding that he would take Jason Jordan's place.
He looked like he'd already taken a shower.
He did.
Because his hair was all nicely back in a bun.
Yeah.
And he's just milling about right there.
And Seth just nods at him and smiles, and there you go.
Yeah, and then Jason Jordan goes. Oh, that was great.
And that leads us to our next match, Fee-Bar versus Reigns and Rollins.
Yeah, man. It was a fun match.
It was a fun match. Again,
how many times,
Reigns kicked out of another finisher.
How many times in the past 12 months has Seth Rollins fought some variation of Fee-Bar?
Well, there was a whole feud with him and Ambrose.
Like at least a couple hundred.
Yeah, including house shows,
yeah.
And then him and Jason Jordan a lot.
That was a lot.
Pretty much since early summer.
Yeah, it's been a while. But anyways, this is fun.
Yeah,
that's a shield.
Jason Jordan made his way down to ringside. He shouted some encouragement to Rollins, helped him get back on the apron. Then Reigns mm-hmm. started yelling at him, get out of there.
Yeah.
At one point, Cesaro and Sheamus, after getting their butts kicked for a while, said, we've had enough. They grab their titles. They start to walk towards the ramp. Jason Jordan intercepts. There's some arguing. Cesaro tries to punch Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan blocks it and punches Cesaro.
Yeah.
Gets Rollins and Reigns DQ'd.
Okay, here's the thing.
Huh.
Did you look at Rollins and Reigns during this interaction?
Kind of, yeah.
Did you see what was happening?
No.
The ref was stopping them from leaving the ring.
Oh.
To, like, ensure that Sheamus and Cesaro don't leave.
Yeah.
So the ref was stopping them, because if you look, they're, like, trying to get around the ref, and the ref is blocking them. Was Jason Jordan just... What was he supposed to do?
I know.
How is he the bad guy in this situation? I feel like he's getting dumped on.
He is getting dumped on.
For just trying to be a good guy.
He was trying to help.
He was trying to help.
He made the mistake of striking Cesaro. It's one thing to prevent him from getting hit, blocked the punch to say, hold on, Cesaro.
Look, man, Jason Jordan is a man. If some dude throws fists my way, you think I care more about my, you know, my buddies getting the tag straps? I don't even get them. Instead of like standing up for myself and throwing my own fist? No, man, I'll wreck my boss.
Maybe I'll get these hands.
Yeah, man. Boss throws a hand at me, better believe I'm going to throw it back at that old lady.
All right.
Listen, old lady. Anyways, yeah, no, I don't, why are the, I mean, look, I get it. I understand he came out, he messed up their opportunities. But Sheamus and Cesaro, they were already leaving.
Yeah.
You know, and the ref wasn't apparently letting Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns do what they wanted to do.
Yeah, a mistake by the ref.
Right? Like, why didn't the ref just say, oh, wow, that's gotten out of hand.
Here, you got to the count of 10 to work this out, guys.
Exactly, yeah. I'm going to go there and take a bite of my Snickers bar.
Yeah.
You know.
And count to 10.
And, yeah, exactly.
And if you're not in the ring, by the time I'm done counting to 10, then guess what?
Yeah.
Double count out.
Snickers satisfies. We're not sponsored by that.
No.
I like Snickers, though.
I prefer Baby Ruth.
Yeah, why would you? Yeah. I swear you do. I swear you live your entire life just to be, you know, contrarian to me.
I growing up, I ate Baby Ruth. That's what I ate. Baby, I prefer it.
You know what I didn't like about Baby Ruth?
What?
Is it was featured so prominently in that Goonies movie by Sloth.
Yeah.
And Sloth really creeped me out.
Do you like Reese's Pieces?
That dude was messed up.
Do you like Reese's Pieces?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's featured prominently in E.T.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't even remember watching E.T. when I was a kid.
Oh.
I think that freaked me out, too. A lot of things freaked me out when I was a kid.
Apparently.
Or Manimal.
Yeah.
That show freaked me out. You know what didn't freak me out? Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah.
Because who didn't want that car?
I know. Who didn't want a talking car?
We're on the same page on that one?
Yes.
Nice.
What about Airwolf?
I don't really remember much about it.
It's a pretty cool helicopter, man.
But did it talk to Van, what's his name?
Jan Michael Vincent?
Jan Michael Vincent?
Ernest Borgnine? No. I don't think it did.
Well, there you go,
still a
man.
Pretty cool helicopter.
Give me Kit. Who would win in a fight, Airwolf or Kit?
Oh, Airwolf would.
Yeah.
I don't think Kit was weaponized in any way.
Remember when they souped up Kit, though?
Uh-huh.
Like in the later seasons, they needed to boost ratings.
Yeah.
So, like, he got armor. All that happened was, like, his bumper would come out a little bit. He'd get some boosters.
Yeah.
But still, he needed to be weaponized.
Yeah.
Interesting. Next up, we had a Braun Strowman iPhone promo.
Culminating in him saying, get these hands.
I wish that when Braun Strowman would do an iPhone promo, he would fiddle with his iPhone a little bit more. Because he's like a monster, right? He should be a bit on the dull side, on the dullard side.
Oh, I mean not know how to handle his technology.
Well, he also has huge hands.
Yeah.
That stuff's like my dad has messed up old postman hands. And like he can hardly operate his. I can't imagine Braun Strowman.
That's what I like about Braun is yeah, he's a monster, but there's more to him than just that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love about Lars Sullivan over there in NXT. Because they always mention how smart he is. They never mention that about Braun. Although I do look, I love that Braun is multidimensional. I'm just saying it'd be kind of funny. He's like, is this on? I see blinking red light. And then he continues. No.
I like that he knows his technology.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
No, I do like
it. No way, man. I don't see him on a laptop.
Sure. Why not?
Next up we had, this was very tense backstage. Jason Jordan Rollins.
Arguing. Kurt Angle gets in between them. Seth Rollins more or less says, I wish I'd hurt you myself.
Yeah.
And then Kurt yells at Jason, go home.
Get out of here.
Come you're back out. When you're medically cleared.
You're out of here.
Oh, you're the ref.
Yeah. But yeah, he got sent home. I wonder if it's going to be for like a year, like everybody says.
Well, so if he needs neck surgery. But then again, his wife called it fake news.
Well, we'll see about that, man. You can't just look. I know fake news is like the popular term now, but you can't just throw that out anytime you want willy-nilly. If something's true, it can't be labeled fake news. Next up, Nia Jax versus Enhancement Talent.
I didn't get her name.
Neither did I.
I don't know if they said it.
Somebody, so I read a thing.
Twice.
I think Matthew from Botchamania tweeted out something, that there was a rumor that girl's only 17 years old. And I have no idea if that's true or not. I just
Vanessa
know.
Floyd. That's
there
what WWE.com says.
There you go. let's see here. He said, this is from Matthew Botchmania, someone on Reddit is claiming Vanessa Floyd was 17, but then he reminds us all that Jeff Hardy lost to Razor Ramon when he was 16. So, yeah, I don't know. Who knows? It's Reddit, dude. I mean, you know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But Nia Jax picked up the win.
Mm-hmm.
Dominant fashion.
Yeah, man. She destroyed that
girl. Culminating with a leg drop.
Mm-hmm.
And then she yelled at the ref. What'd she say? Count it.
She said, count it, ref. Oh, that leg drop was great.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And then she gave an interview afterwards.
In which she said, I'm the man. No, she just said, Asuka, I'm going to beat you or something. I don't know. Let's see here. Next, we had Sonya Deville versus Mickie James.
This match was surprising, I think, on two counts. One, like Mickie was like matching Sonya Deville's striking.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which is surprising because Sonya Deville is supposed to be the MMA fighter.
That's her thing.
Fighter.
Yeah.
And then Mickie ended up winning with a roll-up.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising.
And then even more surprising, Alexa Bliss came out to help Mickie James as she was getting...
beat down by Absolution, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how long that whole Absolution page thing is going to be going on.
I don't know.
I mean, at some point, you got to figure she goes going out there and she's like...
if I can't wrestle, what's the point?
They're not going to let me do this, are they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bummer. Next. Oh, man. Look at it. Look, in the main event slot... Elias.
Oh, that was great. He came out, dropped an awesome promo.
Mm-hmm.
Saying he usually flies over towns like Des Moines.
Doesn't even give him a thought.
Yep.
Exactly. Now he just keeps on thinking about how he can get out of there.
Yep.
Oh, I loved it. The crowd loves it, too.
Let me ask you something. When he starts doing his songs, do you think those boos are piped in or real?
Oh, I don't know. I think he elicits enough of a response. I think it's such a mixed response.
Well, I think it's people like to participate in the show and they know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when he says walk with Elias, they want to say that too.
Yeah.
But they also know that when he starts singing, it's they want to boo him.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
That's part of it.
I don't think anything. I'll put it this way. I don't think anything with Elias is piped in, and that's why he's getting such a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned this. Did we mention this on the show yesterday or was it just in private? When we heard, which I had never heard before, I'm surprised there wasn't a bigger thing about it. Triple H did an interview with CBS Sports.
Yeah, talking about Elias.
Where he said the question was, are there some talents in NXT which just simply work better in NXT? And then when you bring them up, you know, it doesn't work so well. And he said, you know, there's plenty of people in NXT who can have great success there and then go on to have success in the mid card. And he says, I don't think that's a bad thing because there's been all sorts of wrestlers who have had really great careers in the mid card.
Yeah.
And granted, they didn't win championship gold or anything, but you know, you brought people out. People really loved them or they hated them if they were a heel and they did a good job. And he said, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll give you one name. That's a wrestler who is the opposite of that, who, as soon as he came into NXT, I knew that I just needed to get him ready for the main roster because he would translate better there. And he said, that man is Elias, mm-hmm. which explains exactly why he's been pushed so much.
And booked perfectly.
And my God, he's right. The reaction that he's been getting has been great.
Mm-hmm.
I would be really surprised if they piped anything in because he has been featured so prominently.
They
wouldn't need to do
it. I just been noticing the last few weeks that a lot of the boos seem to come in like the exact same
time. Are you saying that maybe they're doing that to...
to inspire people to boo.
And to get across that you're supposed to be booing this guy.
Yeah.
We don't want him as a face.
I wouldn't suggest that it's entirely piped in boos.
Because he got a great reaction when he pinned Cena last night.
Yeah.
He got a great reaction.
So, I mean, it's I was just curious. And that maybe someone who's been to the shows will.
Oh, it could. Yeah, it could be. It could be. Next up. Oh, so that led, of course, to while he was singing and doing his thing, John Cena's music kicked in, and then Braun Strowman came out after that. There was some great bits where Cena and Elias were double teaming Braun Strowman. I thought that was a lot of fun.
And for a while, it took him out of the match because Elias hit him in the back with the guitar.
And then
Cena followed right up with an AA on the ring steps.
Yeah, it was good.
And then pretty much as soon as they were back in the ring, Elias turned on John Cena.
Then, as soon as he hits the AA, John Cena raised his hands and Elias went after him,
mm-hmm.
put him in the ring, tried to get the pin, didn't get it, beat up on him a little bit more. Braun comes back in.
Power slam Cena.
Elias
pushes Braun out of the ring, pins Cena.
Yeah, and gets the win. So now he's going to be the last guy to come out of the...
That's great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And the crowd loved it, man.
Mm-hmm.
But
then Braun has to start doling out power slams to everybody.
And they love that even more.
And he was really, for the first time that I can remember, really playing up.
This felt like a house show,
to the
Braun.
Crowd.
Yeah, this felt like a house show, Braun.
They just, we can go a little bit longer. Like, the cameras should have been cut after the first pair of power slams.
I know. And he was like listening to the crowd and he smiled.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, face of the company right there.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Braun Strowman, face of the company.
Oh, he's great.
He's fantastic. Anyways.
Let me ask you some questions.
Yeah, let's answer some questions.
We have any mail, do we?
No, well, yeah, that one. I still need to clean out the glass because it broke in the frame.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody sent us a nice present and it broke in the frame.
Jonathan Reiner, do you think they could ever turn Elias' face? If so, how do you think they do it? Yeah, definitely.
I think he'd get to the point of becoming a face on his own.
Yeah, he gets popular enough and then people won't boo him because he's so good, so entertaining.
It is one of those things where it's like, man, do we really want that? Like,
but we thought that about the New Day too, and they've made that transition.
Yeah, they've done it really well too.
Seamlessly, and they're still endlessly entertaining.
Yeah.
The real villain, next week's second chance match, who goes over and why? It's Finn.
The real rock and roller.
It's Finn. Finn goes over. He's in Elimination Chamber. He's either setting up a story with Cena or Miz or whomever he's facing at Mania. What the wrestling co-host Nathan Raglan, power rank, is this going to work?
Don't touch any buttons.
All right. Power rank the top five superstars you want to actually go on a walk with Elias. Who should actually walk with Elias?
Well, what kind of walk are we talking about? Are we talking about a hike? Are we talking about like a tag team? Are we talking about the beach?
No, I think a stroll through like a downtown section.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Of a particular city.
Okay.
Maybe Elias takes some moments to perform.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the people gathered there.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Just a stroll through some sort of, you know, like commercial area, something like that. For example, here in Sacramento, K Street.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's shopping and restaurants and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen the Miztourage perform with him, but they weren't very good.
No, we've seen the club perform with him.
Yeah, they're better
than
Miztourage. I don't know who would compliment. Oh, for my money, Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mixed match challenge team.
Although they've had some tension between the two of them.
I have not seen any of their videos beyond that first one with the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I need to watch it.
I'm going to say Cassius Ohno.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Come on. Last time we saw him and Elias, he was sending Elias out the door.
I understand, but we know that Cassius Ohno likes to sing his theme song. Because he does it when he comes out.
That's true. But I want to protect Elias. I love Elias and I love Cassius Ohno.
They're just walking around. Maybe singing a song or two, man.
Oh, I don't think they do. I don't think Cassius Ohno wants anything to do with walking around Elias.
All right. I just feel like Cassius Ohno would be like a really cool guy just to hang out
give
with
him
and walk around.
Devastating elbows they gave him in 2K18.
There's no physicality, just walking around, man.
AO Worm wants to know, does the WWE need big factions like New Japan? If so, name a faction all its members. Balor Club becomes a six-person faction.
He said in an interview recently that if he were, I think this might have been before Balor Club actually got back together. I just saw something on about it today. That he'd want Gallows and Anderson, of course, but also Authors of Pain.
Oh, because man.
He said, who would mess with me if it was all of us? Nobody.
That's great. Okay, and then what superstar from the women's division? I mean, it's Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm.
All the videos of her hanging out with the club
on
social media, making fun of Mike Rome and calling him a nerd are so charming.
Yeah. Yeah. Good
she
pick.
Looks like she has a good time with those guys.
Unretired Dwayne Nix. If the rumors of Jason Jordan's neck being a serious injury.
Well, it's been a while since we've heard his name, right?
I know. He's unretired now.
All right.
Who do you guys see Seth Rollins facing at Mania? Thinking about this last night too.
What did we used to? Oh, he used to be the European champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
30-time European champion.
Three, maybe four.
No,
boy, that's
officially recognized.
Isn't that crazy that like we've been doing
almanac,
this so long?
30-time European champion.
That like that's a throwback for us now.
Wow.
Anyways,
maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, who's he going to face at Mania? No Dean, no Jason Jordan.
Boy, that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one for him.
That's going to be a bummer, too. Your two potential Mania foes, reportedly, both going down with injury.
I'd hate to say Samoa Joe, but...
I know.
It seems like maybe Samoa Joe? God, I don't know.
Because Joe, I think I read, like, might be scheduled to come back mid-March, a couple weeks before Mania.
Yeah. I mean...
And that I guess, could make sense. Seth could go after him for injuring Dean, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Dean should be back in some capacity by Mania, I think,
you'd
right?
Think so. And they said 9 months, but that seemed...
Oh, yeah.
An inflated estimate.
Yeah.
So who knows? Yeah, probably Samoa Joe.
Oh, this is a good question and a good answer. I don't have a better one. Bronze grappling hook. What superstar would you like to see talk to the audience, break the fourth wall, like Ferris Bueller or Deadpool? I think Heath Slater would be hilarious doing it. I actually really like that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I think that'd be good. But otherwise, John Cena.
Suds, is Elias the best handled NXT call-up ever? I don't know about ever.
So we've got Samoa Joe, Bronze Grappling Hook response here. Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Paige, Asuka, Big E, Xavier Woods, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose.
I would
take Roman Reigns out of that.
Yeah, Finn Balor I would maybe toss in there because he won the Universal title right away but got hurt. I don't know if Elias is the best handled ever, but within the last year, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. In like the latest crop.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to say, would you say Asuka so far? I mean, they're treating her win streak like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the jury is still out a little bit.
Well, there was that kind of, you know, they didn't really handle it correctly right away, the whole thing with Emma.
I don't know, man. Elias is up there because how they debuted him just milling about in the background?
That's perfect.
His like...
From the get-go, they booked him perfectly.
I mean, look, it all depends on what you think your goal is with this person. You know, it's like there are some guys like Finn Balor, they correctly immediately push him to Universal Champion. And yeah, since he's been out of injury, it hasn't been all that great. But it also hasn't been terribly bad. Mm-mm. We've always got the impression that they think of him in a certain big-time way. They
we
just
saw a
have
show
other priorities.
Close with Triple H raising Finn Balor's arm as if to say, he is my guy. I don't think there's any ambiguity to that image whatsoever.
Exactly.
At least Triple H really likes Finn Balor.
Yeah. Let's see here. Mr. Sinister, do you guys think Alexa made a point when she told Kurt, why must she defend her title but Brock mustn't or doesn't have to? Yes, I do think she made a good point.
Yeah, she did. I know... Angle said that she hadn't defended her title since TLC, but he didn't mention that she had a match at Survivor Series against Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Raw pay-per-view in December.
Mm-hmm.
And then she didn't have a match at Rumble. But The Nightcrawler. Hey, Steven Larson. Power rank the top five characters in WWE. I don't necessarily mean characters like Kane or Bray. I mean people who just know completely who their character is.
Oh, boy.
Elias knows who his character is. 100%.
Elias knows exactly who he is.
So who best embodies their character?
You know, not a lot of people. I feel like not a lot of people don't. It's usually more. We talk about it more when they don't, because so often they do. You know?
Well, yeah, by and large, people do a really good job.
Like Jason Jordan now. I mean, we can look at the standouts now as compared to maybe like people who have found their characters. Like Jason Jordan now, I think has found his character.
Yeah. But I think there's a difference too. Like The Miz, his character just seems to be him just turned
up.
Yeah,
right.
Same with
right.
John Cena. It seems to be him just turned up a bit.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know if Jason Jordan is like that behind the scenes. Probably not. That's
right.
Definitely a character.
That's a character. I get your point. Yeah, I get your point.
Same
yeah.
with Elias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I doubt he's a troubadour in his real life.
Yeah.
He's playing a character.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Do you think John Cena is a character?
No. I think that's just kind of him just turned up.
Yeah.
But Braun, that's a character.
Yeah, I was thinking Braun too. Yeah.
He does a great job embodying that character.
Mm-hmm. Kind of answered that one already. Mr. Lipkin Unlimited. If Asuka won the title at Mania and was immediately cashed in on by Carmella, would that be a waste of the streak? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, if they did that, I'd want Asuka to win the cash-in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Not here for rest holds. At what point does WWE tell Cena to stop calling things so loudly in the ring?
Oh, my God. Shinsuke, now. Now, Shinsuke.
Yeah.
I mean, I get his point that, you know, how long can you stand around looking like a dullard? But gee whiz.
It's like he doesn't even bother trying to whisper anything anymore.
I know.
We've been to indie shows where we see, you know, granted we're, you know, 10 feet from the ring and we see people call spots, but they make every effort to.
They're pretty clever about it.
To not be shouting at each other.
Dong Diggler.
I feel like Cena's actually trying to get to the back row in the upper deck with
him
calling spots.
He wants everybody to hear him.
I know.
Which Balor should face Cena at WrestleMania?
Well, he's Mania. It's going to be Demon Balor.
It's got to be Demon Balor. But, like, I kind of feel like with this whole Club Balor going on right now,
that Man Balor might be the better choice.
Man Balor's just cooler.
But, you know, Balor did do Demon Balor.
It'd be, I wish, I hope
in
that
New Japan.
Here's my thing, and I know it's not going to happen. But let's see a Balor Club version of the Demon.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of all the silly things, just have him come out with like some... It's the same thing with Asuka. I've seen Asuka from before NXT with like some really cool-looking face paint. Like, have her do that at Mania. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, like, Balor, have him do, like... Because, you know, he did, like... I think he did, like, a Venom-type thing before.
Yeah. Oh, he's done a lot of things. He did Freddy Krueger.
He did a bunch of things. Like that, I don't want Freddy Krueger, though.
No, I don't want that, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
He did a Joker thing,
like, what
too,
if he does... What's the dude from It...
Oh, Pennywise?
Pennywise. I don't want to see that.
No.
That'd be goofy.
I don't think he could in WWE.
Yeah, he probably couldn't. But, you know, something that just looked cool, because I'm not... It's funny. You've come around with me on Finn Balor, but I've come around on you with the Demon
Balor.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
It seems so shallow.
Yeah.
I know they tried to create some mythology around it, but I don't know. It doesn't seem terribly convincing.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Let's see here.
Tim Morris, concerning Roman's spear is awful, what do you think should be his finisher?
You know, he used to do that Razor's Edge powerbomb thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Razor's Edge is a really hard move to pull off.
Roman's Edge.
Yeah.
Roman's Edge. Do that. No, I agree with that. I like that. Oops.
Broken Steve, when can you start calling Roman NWO Cena?
Oh, I think like a year ago.
Oh, Randy Orton voices, first time question asker. We all know Roman will win the belt at Mania, but when will he drop it and who will he drop it to?
My gut tells me they're going to give him a really long run with it. But mm-hmm. I would like, if they really want to develop Roman's character, then he can't just hold the belt the entire year and never lose. He needs to face some adversity.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Then why would that work with Okada and not with Roman? What can they do with Roman? Have him keep the belt and make his run as interesting as Okada's?
Well, he'd have to put on the best matches of every card.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all. And it's not exactly fair to Reigns because if he's grown into a really good worker.
Yeah, sure.
But there will always be the perception of him while he's in the main event that he's being shoved down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that perception exists, there's always going to be resistance to him winning all the time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They have to find a way to overcome that. And I think if he faces some adversity before going on a prolonged title run, it would help kind of mitigate the idea that, okay, we're just going to push him regardless of what you guys think.
Yeah.
Tell some interesting stories with him while he's champ. Have him lose the belt a couple times. Really, really try to find a way for him to face struggle, overcome struggle, reach the top of the mountain, and then stay there for a while.
I feel like one thing that they do with Okada is they like to go to the story of, can he get his Rainmaker off on somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And with Roman,
it's also he is able, match after match, withstand the best,
right,
whoever they put in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, he brings out the best in his opponent, and they give him his best, and he always finds a way to outlast.
He has a specific game, though. You know, like, he brings a certain thing. And I feel like Roman kind of lacks that because of his and I'm not saying this is on him, the limited offense they have given him, they let him do. So until he starts, I agree with you in terms of him having to lose the title, because that's kind of the equivalent of what they do with Okada. Okada has to continually withstand the best to get his own game on.
Well, I mean, Okada's reign now is so impressive because he's had other reigns that were shorter. Mm-hmm. He's faced adversity.
Yeah.
And now it's like, right now, this is prime Okada, especially now that we have Okada Reborn.
Okada Reborn.
I wouldn't be surprised if he holds that belt until next Wrestle Kingdom. I don't think he will, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be surprised. I think he probably will, to be honest with you. I mean, like you said before, it's like a huge deal when somebody loses at Wrestle Kingdom.
When the champ loses, yeah.
And I think if he's going to lose it, it's going to be a big deal, probably at Wrestle Kingdom. So I can actually, I mean, not an expert at New Japan stuff.
Yeah.
But
anyways, you want to do some play per view?
Yeah. What do we want to do?
I'm going to choose Chamber last. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do Starrcade 1987.
Oh, good choice. I'll do Starrcade 92.
Okay.
I don't think we've watched that before.
This Starrcade was apparently after Jim Crockett bought the UWF, the Universal Wrestling Federation.
Oh.
And so they mashed a bunch of the superstars in, and apparently...
How many matches do you have?
I have 7.
Okay, there's 10 on here.
Oh, shit, okay.
Let me try 93. I'll try a different year. You said you have 7?
Yes. Yes, Karen. Okada, Long Pants Okada is Prime Okada,
yeah,
a.k.a.
Man.
Okada Reborn.
Yeah, Long Pants Okada. Because
it's long pants mixed with blonde hair as opposed to gray or silver hair.
Why are there no results on here? That's weird. All right, I'll try 91 instead. Which one? What year are you doing?
87.
Okay, I'll try 91. Results. Well, there's still 10 matches. There's 11 matches. Whatever. I'll do this. You said you have 7?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just be picky.
Okay, first up, it's a tag team match pitting the Freebirds, Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes, and Sting, who I guess was an honorary Freebird.
Interesting.
And they took on Eddie Gilbert, Larry Zbysko, and Rick Steiner.
I'll say the team was Sting.
It actually ended in a time limit draw.
Oh, darn. Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. I always feel bad when it's a time limit draw.
Nobody wins. Hold on 1 second. Okay. And a lethal lottery tag match saw, Brian Pillman and Too Cold Scorpio take on the Great Muta and Barry Windham.
What's this pay-per-view again?
Starrcade 92.
92. I'm going to say the team with the Great Muta.
Correct.
All right. Singles match for the UWF Heavyweight Championship, which they gave a lot of respect to because it was the second match on the card. It was only a 6-minute, 50-second match.
Mm.
Anyways, the champion, Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Uh-huh.
The challenger, Barry Windham. Who won?
Dr. Death.
Very good.
Next, Steve Williams and Sting in another lethal lottery tag match.
Wait a second. Which Steve Williams?
I'm guessing.
Yeah, Dr. Death.
Dr.
Okay,
Death,
okay.
Yeah. Took on Jushin Thunder Liger and Eric Watts.
I'm going to say... Wait, who's the first team? Is Dr. Death and who?
Sting.
Dr. Death and Sting won?
Yeah.
Okay. The Rock and Roll. This is a Skywalker's match.
Whoa!
Do you know what that is?
That's the scaffold match, I think. Right.
Very good. You get one. I feel bad about the time limit draw. I hate time limit draw.
That's something you got to consider, man. Or one should consider when answering these things. Anyways, continue.
It's a Skywalker's match.
All right.
The Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express.
I think this is one where Cornette fell off and tore up his knee. So I think the Rock and Roll Express won that.
Good. Yeah.
A singles match for the NWA World Champion saw the challenger, the Great Muta, take on the champion, Masahiro Chono.
Wow. I'll say Chono retained.
Yeah.
Okay. Unification match for the NWA and UWF World Television Championships.
Oh, wow.
So they unified these champions. Nikita Koloff versus Terry Taylor.
Let's go with Koloff.
Yes, very good.
Singles match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship saw challenger Steve Williams take on champion Ron Simmons.
I'll say Ron Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And now a tag team match for the NWA World Tag Team Championships. The champions, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard.
Ooh.
Versus the Road Warriors.
Oof.
Yeah.
Say the Road Warriors.
No.
Darn.
Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, but it was by DQ, so I imagine the Road Warriors probably look stronger.
Yeah. A tag team match for the NWA and WCW World Tag Team Championships.
Oh, my goodness.
Saw champions Shane Douglas and Ricky Steamboat take on Barry Windham and Brian Pillman.
Boy, okay. I'll say Douglas and... Wait, who? Douglas and who?
Steamboat.
Steamboat. I'll say they kept him.
Yeah.
They won. Okay.
Not a whole lot of title changes on this card.
Next up, in a steel cage match for the NWA United States Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Lex Luger. The challenger, Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, Luger.
No, Dusty Ooh, Rhodes.
Interesting.
Won. Yeah.
Singles match, the tournament final of the King of Cable tournament.
Yes! That's the best.
Vader
Ooh.
Versus Sting.
Oh, wow. This is 92. I'll say Sting went over.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm at six. And then finally, in a steel cage for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Ric Flair versus who?
Ric Flair versus the champion, Ron Garvin.
Oh, Flair got that one.
Very good, yes.
Main event, Battle Bowl 2. Who won? Competitors were the Great Muta.
Okay.
Dustin Rhodes, Van Hammer.
Nice.
Vader.
Nice.
Sting, Barry Windham, Steve Williams, and Dan Spivey.
Oh, wow. What a great crop of competitors. 92, I'll say Sting won.
Great Muta.
Dang it.
You got six?
I got six. How many did you get?
Four.
Well, you can have five because no. You didn't. I hate that. But here's the thing. Not only did you get swerved with a time limit draw, you also knew that Jim Cornette fell from the Skywalkers match and busted his knee. I think those two things are worth a point. I think all that they probably all agree with that. We're out of time. Let's get some music, Hilton. Thank you very much.
Oh, that worked.
Yeah. Till next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.